From the Gettysburgian and 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg, I'm Ben Ponce, and this is On Target.
I'm Gari Mangala, and today on Target, we will be discussing the conversation of impeaching possible senators and the new director of the Centerman Conservatory Orchestra.
Then, Gari will sit down with Student Senate Sustainability Chair Nadine Snyder. Stay with us. All right, let's get into it. Gari, there are some folks who would like to impeach some folks in Student Senate.
Yep.
Explain.
Well, on Monday's Student Senate meeting, we were recording this on Saturday, March 23rd, and the Senate meeting was Monday, March 18th. We saw a reintroduction of a tabled Senate amendment to the Constitution that changed language in a few sections of the Constitution, but there seemed to be a bit of conversation regarding a phrase that would remove a phrase dictating that students and senators could be removed and impeached on the grounds of their values not being in line with the values of, of Gettysburg College. This phrase was wanted to be removed because in American politics, one cannot be removed for their morals or their beliefs. It has to be based on action. So we wanted, so Parliamentarian Abby Hauer, along with Policy Committee, wanted to remove the phrase in order to be in line with the American government system. However, many students had issues with removing the phrase as they believed that that would allow for more unilateral actions to be taken place in which students could perhaps be more biased and less accepting of all clubs if their values were not falling in line with the values of the Gettysburg College. Many were citing that we have documents like the our policies on diversity and inclusion, our freedom of expression policy, and many others, our handbook. And felt that removing any phrase of values and Gettysburg College would be a detriment to future quorums of Student Senate. The conversation went on to Anna Perry, who is not a senator, I should note, class of 21, stating that students are indeed thinking about impeachment. Later on after the Senate meeting, I sat down with Anna Perry, and they said that students are thinking about impeaching specifically President Nick Arbaugh and Treasurer Haley Gluhanich, and that they have been since Bergburst funding. Last semester, Bergburst is an event that is co-sponsored by many groups, diversity groups on campus. And ever since, International Club, who came twice for funding to BMC and felt as though they were being treated unfairly by Student Senate, conversations about impeachment have come through. It should be noted that both Haley and Nick are vocally conservative, both fiscally and just politically, and that is definitely something that has made groups on campus uncomfortable. Last year, when Nick was running for president in the re-elections, students had meetings with their own constituencies discussing the detriments or the possible detriments that Nick being president would play for minority groups on campus. And those sentiments have not seemed to fade. If anything, they have gotten more and more extreme. Other things of note about this story specifically, Anna Perry cited an instance last semester where in which they had asked Nick in the middle of a Senate meeting if he had been consulting with his executive board in decisions of appointments of committee chairs and senators at large, to which he said yes. However, right after the Senate meeting, Anna stated that Marissa Belanda, 21, our Secretary of Student Senate, and Larissa Horodisky, who no longer goes here but was at the time club's liaison, also class of 21, approached Anna Perry and stated that they are not complicit in what Nick is doing, that he was not consulting with them, and that he had been pretty terrible. We reached out to Marissa Belanda, who stated that she did not, she did say, have these sentiments, but that she later on voiced her concerns to her executive board, and that, quote, since I have communicated my concerns, I have felt fully included in all decisions made by the executive board and do stand behind all of their actions. Some executive board members did reach out to me in the process of writing this article to say that Nick was standing with them and was communicating with them and was consulting with them. So what truly happened, I guess we'll never know. Those are behind closed doors. But there's that. It does not seem as though Nick and Haley will be impeached this semester, as the timeline of impeachment would mean that they would only be out of office if everything went through for the last week of classes. But it does seem that it would be far more likely in future student senate governing bodies that impeachment would be on the table.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about impeachment at this stage in the ballgame, after, you know, the Senate has conducted most of the business it will conduct as far as new initiatives this academic year.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're going to talk later to Nadine Snyder, who's the sustainability chair, about one kind of lingering sustainability initiative about plastic bags. But, you know, in terms of the number of Senate meetings that are left this semester, there are five, I believe. Two of them will be forums about elections for next year. And so, to your point, you know, the impeachment process takes time. I did find it a little bit interesting that Ivana Lopez Espinoza held up, you know, everything from the college's diversity statement to the freedom of expression philosophy as values of the college that might continue to be grounds for impeachment. And then it seems that, you know, it's what political beliefs have been expressed, that this philosophy would afford the freedom to express, that people are considering as potential grounds for impeachment.
Yeah, and I know that for senators, that was tough. Ivana pointed out that students, you know, didn't vote for Hillel or have voted against budgets. And I think the sentiment—
When you say didn't vote for Hillel, talk about what—
Oh, yeah.
Means.
Didn't vote for recognition of the club, recognition of Hillel, which is a club for Jewish students on campus and also for just celebrating the Jewish community. But she pointed out those instances and instances of diversity clubs, you know, feeling as though they're having a tougher time getting their budgets. And I think the sentiment for some senators after this conversation is, well, if I vote down a loss of budget, a Latin American Student Association, if I vote down a loss of budget, does that mean that there's grounds for me to be impeached for voting down a loss of budget just because it happens to be LASA? And I think that that's an accurate sentiment to have because, you know, I understand that these clubs are feeling attacked, and I understand that these clubs feel as though there are things being taken away from them. But I don't think that, from my experience, you know, in some ways I've kind of become the beat reporter of Student Senate over the last year. So I have been in conversations with both sides of this issue for all of this year, and I've also sat in almost every single Senate meeting. It doesn't seem to me that it is that there is bias. It's more just, you know, there is an amount of money that Student Senate has, and they're going to be harsh about it. If you look back to any time that Biosphere, which is a science club on campus, has come for budgets, when they're on the floor, they're eaten alive every time because they come with like nine events and senators just don't agree with some of them. And it's rough to see because these are their peers. It's not just LASA. It's not just other cultural groups on campus. But I understand that that's the image that's coming through.
Well, I mean, just to jump in on that point and maybe to push a little bit on that, I think one specific budget that folks have cited that came around the same time as this Berg Burst budget was the College Republicans came with a request for money to go to CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, which, you know, at this point is essentially the Trump festival. And, you know, and so that was approved, and Haley Gluhanich has said that College Republicans have paid some of that money back, and, you know, but it was still several thousand dollars for 20 or 30 people to go to a conference in comparison to a budget for Berg Burst, where they were requesting $1,600 and were given 900 or given almost 1,000. And then they requested another $255 and were given all of it. But, you know, I think that the question here is whether there's a different level of fiscal restraint that's being applied to some cultural organizations than there are to, namely, the conservative political organization that is College Republicans. To your point, certainly there are groups like Biosphere, and I don't think they're the only one. Skeptical Chemists, I think, has had some budgets come to the floor that have been scrutinized heavily. And so, you know, I don't know whether it's fair to say that because Haley Gluhanich, for example, is a member of College Republicans, and so would have been involved in putting that budget request together. I don't know. It's an interesting discussion. I think you're certainly right, though, that it's unlikely, in my mind anyway, that this is going to get done this spring unless the next Senate meeting is hijacked by this issue. But I don't imagine that it'll be on the agenda because the president sets the agenda.
Yeah, I think that the only way that anything will happen is if things, I think, get worse. I guess worse isn't the right word. If things get more heightened than they already are.
All right, well, let's go on to another exciting topic, the cost of attending Gettysburg College.
It's on the up and up.
Yes. Well, on Thursday, the president announced, and this had already been approved and sent out in a letter, the Board of Trustees has approved a tuition increase next year that will bring the total cost of tuition, room, and board to attend Gettysburg College for the 2019-20 academic year to $69,850, which President Riggs called a breathtaking sum in a faculty meeting held Thursday afternoon. That represents a 3.5% increase from the 2018-19 total of the lowly $67,490. A couple things about this. First, if you go to the Gettysburgians website, you can see some tables that we put together, with some historical context and with some future projections. This is now the sixth straight year where the increase has been 3.5%. It never supports a 3.5% budget increase as more and more money goes towards financial aid. There was a 2.5% increase to the overall salary pool. There's been some discussion over the years about underpaying support staff at the lowest end of the pay scale. And so that's kind of one thing. The other thing is that the college collects only about half of what it theoretically should via this tuition revenue. By that, I mean that half of the $69,850 tends to be eaten up by institutional financial aid, such that really when you increase the tuition at the top end, you're increasing the tuition only for full paying students as more and more money gets funneled into financial aid for really any middle class and below students. And so, you know, there's a discussion about whether that's the prudent approach. There have been some colleges, Elizabethtown College, for example, which is over in Lancaster County, recently went to a tuition model that we're going to cut the overall tuition and then have to give out less aid so that our tuition figure is a more transparent reflection of what it costs to go. Gettysburg has done the opposite. But on the other hand, Gettysburg's discount rate, which is about 50%, as I was just talking about, is lower than some other institutions, liberal arts institutions. And so that's that. I'd recommend looking at the graphs and the tables. They're a little bit jarring.
Yeah. Recently at the town hall that happened on Thursday, President Rick spoke a little bit more about it and was saying, like, that obviously this is, I think she called it a spectacular number. And it's sad to see that this is the increase, especially when she was saying that there doesn't seem that there's going to be any added in revenue from tuition. However, you know, because of the deficit in support staff funding and even for some administrative assistance, I hope that this money will go towards, you know, their salary increases, but I fear that it's going to go towards construction projects. And
well, yeah, real briefly, talking about the one construction project that's kind of been rolled out over the last few days.
Yeah. So it looks like in order to renovate Paul Hall, Stein Hall, Rice Hall, and Hanson Hall, you know, we obviously are going to need to put those students somewhere. This year's class of 22, was larger than intended, and I believe some first years are actually in upperclassmen housing in Musselman Hall. And we don't seem, they're not projecting to have such a large first year class next year, but they're obviously still going to have some students that they are going to need to put somewhere else. So they're thinking about building a new first year dorm that would be across the Jaeger Center, which is the gym, in a parking lot, which begs the question of what's going to happen to those parking spots, as we are already in a deficit of parking spots for students. And that the first year dorms, the way it would work is similar to, if anyone's familiar with the way Hanson's renovations during the mold crisis worked. So like Rice students would move into this new hall, and then they would renovate Rice, and then they would be moved back into Rice, and then Paul Hall students would be moved into this new hall. They would renovate Paul, and so on and so forth. I don't know if that's the smartest way to go about this. However, I can't think of a better way to go about this.
Well, I think the point is that they can't do the scope of the renovations that they need to over the summer.
Yeah.
So it's going to have to bleed into the semester somehow. And this is not something that is planned to start this fall. I think that this project would be financed by debt as opposed to by, you know, some sort of an endowment. Although President Riggs did say at a faculty meeting Thursday afternoon that if you know anyone who'd like to donate, we're certainly open to that. but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And just in terms of, you know, if you build a giant structure across the street from the Jaeger Center, that would seem to make the Jaeger Center a less attractive space to do anything in while looking out, because currently you kind of look out and you can see, you know, the kind of the sun sets in that direction. And it's just kind of an interesting plan.
However, for the students that are living across the street, it may be more attractive to go to the gym because it's closer.
I don't know. I don't do physical activities.
Neither do I.
All right. Well, that's that. Another news. The Sunderman Conservatory of Music has named a new director of the Gettysburg College Symphony Orchestra. His name is Dr. Cesar Leal. He comes from the University of the South at in Sewanee, Tennessee, where he has a similar position as the one he will be taking as assistant professor of music and director of orchestral activities. Dr. Leal is a Columbia native, the South Central American country. South American country? Yeah, right. It's not in the...
It's a South American country.
Okay. He's a native of Colombia, the South American country, as opposed to one of the many American cities that are Colombia. Colombia with an O, I guess, is where we're going with this. In any case, Dr. Leal is a musicologist by training. He's particularly interested in Latin American music, and he presented on Carmen, the French opera, when he was on campus a few weeks ago for the final interview. He replaces Vimbai Kasaboni, a Zimbabwe native who left Gettysburg after 2 years to take a position up at the Boston Conservatory at Berkeley, the Berkeley College of Music. So he was certainly a dynamic force. Dr. Leal, by all accounts, also will be one. But it'll be interesting to see how that transpires. Gary, you're a former member of the Gettysburg College Symphony Orchestra. Would you like to weigh in?
Yeah, I was a member my freshman fall. So I did two concerts through Professor Kasaboni. And yeah, he was definitely a force to be reckoned with. One of my fondest memories is he composed an orchestral accompaniment to Nina Simone's Strange Fruit. And, you know, we were using wind chimes and ruffling pieces of red paper and dropping them and all these like very odd things. And he just, the way he looked at music and the way he looked at the performance of something that tends to be very, you know, stuffy. I think I speak for most instrumentalists that it is very tough to have a physicality to you that's more than just, you know, you holding your instrument. And he definitely saw beyond that. You know, he would do performances where he would have presidents' speeches playing throughout the music piece. And that kind of stuff was just always so cool for me to see because it was just a very different way of looking at orchestra than anybody else. And it was the first orchestra that I had been a part of that people were talking about it like days after the performance. And I know for a lot of people, he was considered such a force. It was not surprising that he left. He was definitely a very talented man, and Berkeley is lucky to have him.
Yeah, and so Cesar Leal has also expressed an interest. I don't want to necessarily set up a comparison, but he has also expressed an interest in kind of going beyond the notes on the page, so to say. He was quoted in a February interview with the student newspaper at Sewanee, saying that Latin American musical traditions give us a glimpse into the importance of immigration and the extent of the cultural impact other countries have had here, for which we have to be thankful. And so I think that he will certainly bring an energy to the orchestra that perhaps it needs right now after, I mean, not to say that the current interim director hasn't been able to do that, but it's different when you have someone who's going to be here for the long haul or who we anticipate being here for the long haul. Currently, the interim director is violinist Ari Isaacman Beck, who has certainly brought his own style to leading the orchestra. He's played first violin in some of these concerts without conducting, which has been an interesting model. And so in any case, that's the orchestra story. And finally, I did want to touch briefly on a proposal that's been circulating among the faculty, an offer really, for $2,000 to any faculty member who develops a course for the college's proposed business major. The way this is working is that the management department has been this year really working to put together a proposal to add a second major, a dual major. It would only be available as a dual major in business. And this would be sort of similar to how the public policy program is only available as a dual major. And in any case, this is a response to, I'm not just going to say a response to kind of demographic changes on the horizon, but there is an interest among prospective students in studying business that organization and management studies, which is the current major in the management department, is not meeting. And so Gettysburg would like to be able to attract those students and develop a sort of interdisciplinary business major. And that is the focus of this particular proposal. There has been chatter that incentivizing faculty to do something that is normally a part of their job, i.e. develop the college's curriculum, is not something that we should be doing with cash incentives like this. But others think that, you know, it's a way, and Provost Chris Zappi has said this is a way to encourage and recognize faculty for spending time on this at a time of the semester that there are other demands on their time. It's worth noting that the faculty has not yet approved, but would have to approve any new major to the college curriculum. And so the business major is something that may come to the floor yet this year, but honestly, I kind of doubt it based on the feedback that they have received thus far from the subcommittee responsible for reviewing these sorts of proposals. But who knows?
Yes.
Anything can happen. It's Gettysburg College. That should be our slogan.
It really should be.
All right, I think that's going to wrap up our news segment. We'll be right back with the Bullet Report and then Gary's interview with Nadine Snyder. And now it's time for the Bullet Report. It's been a fairly eventful week over the last 3 weeks, in fact, of Gettysburg College sports action. On March the 9th, the women's lacrosse team defeated Washington and Lee, number 3, 11-9. The men's lacrosse team defeated Widener, 18-9, the same day. The baseball team went to Florida over Spring Break. On March the 10th, they lost to North Park, 10-6. The men's tennis team defeated Shepherd, 6-3, the same day. The softball team defeated Suffolk, 3-0, the same day. The women's tennis team, however, lost to Gordon, 5-4. The softball team lost to Eastern Connecticut State, 3-0. On March 11th, On March 11th, the baseball team defeated Western Connecticut 14-10. The men's tennis team defeated Nebraska Wesleyan 9-0. The women's tennis team did the same. The baseball team defeated Western Connecticut 9-6. The baseball team defeated Marywood 6-1. The softball team defeated Worcester 3-0. The men's tennis team lost to Thomas More 7-2. The baseball team defeated Marywood 7-2. The softball team lost to Washington College of Missouri 10-2. The men's tennis team was defeated by Lawrence Tech in Michigan 6-3. The women's tennis team lost 5-4. The men's lacrosse team defeated Washington and Lee 14-13. The softball team lost to Plymouth State 7-5 on March the 14th. The baseball team lost to Mount St. Vincent 11-10. The softball team defeated Montclair State 9-1. The women's lacrosse team defeated number 19 Ithaca 20-9. On March the 15th, the baseball team defeated Norwich 13-2 and then again 5-2. The softball team defeated Ramapo 4-0. The baseball team lost to Immaculata 11-4 on March the 16th. The men's lacrosse team defeated Eastern 9-5. The softball team lost to William Patterson 5-4. The baseball team lost to Penn State Harrisburg 7-4 in their home opener on March the 19th. They defeated, however, Lebanon Valley the next day 9-8. The women's lacrosse team defeated York 15-10. The softball team had some games rained out, as did the baseball team and the women's tennis team and the men's tennis team yesterday. And thus endeth the Bullet Report. We'll be right back with Gary's interview with Nadine Snyder.
And we are joined today by Nadine Snyder, Committee Chair of Sustainability Committee of Student Senate. Nadine, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I guess first, do you want to give us your laundry list, your email signature at the end of your emails at Gettysburg College?
Okay. So I am a senator at large for Gettysburg Student Senate. I'm also the chair of the Sustainability Committee. My co-chair is Alex Shee, and he is chair of the safety committee. I also am head of the sisterhood committee in Tri Sigma and the character counts committee. And I'm in APO. And I don't know, I do a lot of things on campus.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit more about sustainability committee. So it looks like most of your efforts have been regarding plastic on campus.
Yes.
How did that come about? Was that just always the conversation that was had in committee? What made you choose that?
Well, I'm from California, and in California in 2016, on the ballot was a proposition to ban all plastic bags. So I voted for that, and I thought that was something that needed to be done. Also, in January, I went to a sustainability conference here, and they talked about the three things that should be banned from all college campuses, which were plastic bags, styrofoam, and straws. And since our campus really doesn't use styrofoam, and we transitioned recently to paper straws and bullet, I decided that plastic bags would be the next place to start.
Yeah. Now, with plastic bags, what is it about plastic bags specifically that make it so harmful for the environment?
Well, plastic bags are made of really thin plastic, so when they go into the oceans, they turn into microplastics really quickly, which makes them hard to remove if anyone was going to go and try to take plastic out of the ocean. Also, once they're microplastics, it's easy for them to be eaten by fish and to get into their intestines. And then when we eat the fish, we're eating the plastic that's in the fish, and they're just harmful to the oceans.
Now, for everyone to know, this is a gimmick that Ben told me I had to do. So I brought with me a bag that we currently use in Bullet called a DSAC, the green bag. Mm-hmm. And on it, it's written, this is the DSAC. It's oxo-degradable, 100% recyclable, and contains previously recycled materials. Using this bag reduces road traffic and fuel. It takes 14 tractor-trailer trucks to carry 2 million paper sacks, but only one truck is needed to carry 2 million D-sacks. Producing the D-sack saves... Oh, it's a really unfortunate name. Saves energy in trees. One-fourth of the energy is needed to manufacture a D-sack versus a paper sack. Plus, the D-sack can be used over and over again. Save fuel, save trees, always recycle. So these are the bags that we currently use in Bullet. They're green in color. Are these better than the white polythene bags you would get at, like, Target?
They are better, but they're still not good. These bags, they have to be recycled at a very special facility. Not a lot of recycling centers have them. Also, not all students know to recycle them, so they just end up in the same place in the landfill. And also, they have to be heated up in order to be composted or recycled. It's very difficult to do.
Okay. I know that you recently had a meeting with Mike Bishop over in Bullet. Can you tell me a little bit about how that went?
That went really well. Mike Bishop is really in favor of sustainability. He's done a lot with the money that he has to try to make Bullet more sustainable. He's in favor of banning plastic bags and says if our opinion passes Senate, then he would definitely like help us do whatever we need to do in order to ban them. I would just have to talk to the administration in order to make the ban happen.
And what are your alternatives if we ban plastic bags?
I was thinking that at the beginning of every academic year, students could get their own reusable bag. I also think that they should sell reusable bags for like a dollar outside of Bullet. So if students forget to bring them and they need one, then they're...
Now, I've also noticed that Common still uses plastic straws. Is there anything that we can do about that?
Yes. At Dickinson, they have lids for their cups that are kind of like sippy cups, and that reduces plastic use because you don't have to use straws with them. Also, most people don't really need to use straws when they drink. There are certain people where they aren't able to drink without straws, and obviously straws should be provided for those people. But for everyone else, you don't really need to use a straw when you drink, so just don't use them.
Absolutely. Now, I was recently talking to President Arbaugh about how, forward-thinking this year's Senate has been, both in Sustainability Committee but also in Policy Committee and PR. What do you think it is about this year or this semester specifically that has been propelling so many efforts forward? Even CLAC has been really, really great this semester.
I just think there's a change in climate on campus, and students are really taking initiative and getting their beliefs out there and try to put projects out. It's been really exciting being in Senate this semester because everyone has been very vocal about their opinions and everyone has worked really hard to make changes on campus. And I just think the climate of the country and the climate of campus is really driving that.
Hmm. What do you think we can see going forward in Student Senate with that climate in place?
I think a lot of positive changes are going to be made. I really do think there will be more representation of all groups in Senate next year, because I think more and more people are getting involved and realizing that if they voice their concerns, that they will be listened to and maybe changes can be made. So I see that in the future. I also see students putting out more ideas of ways that we can change campus for the better, because I think more students do believe that they can make changes on campus and they don't feel as hopeless as they did before.
Hmm. Interesting. Can you expand on that? How do you think students felt before?
Well, I have I've heard a lot of sentiment about, like, people feeling as if, I guess, the administration doesn't really care about students' beliefs. And I think that students have really tried to fight against that this year. And tried to become more involved on campus activities in order to try to push their own agendas forward.
Yeah, and I definitely think they've been successful in that. We recently saw an opinion come through about menstruation products through CLAC, and now we're seeing this with Sustainability Committee, and it's been, like you said, very exciting to be in the room and see all of that happening. Are you planning on running next year?
I'm going abroad in the fall, but I definitely plan on running for a position in Senate in the spring.
Definitely. Okay, I think that's everything I wanted to ask of you. So thank you so much, Nadine, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's On Target for this week. We'd like to thank Nadine Snyder for being our featured guest today.
We would also like to thank the staff of the Geddes Bergen and the executive board of WCBT for their ongoing support in this project. Please be sure to subscribe to On Target on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
On Target is a joint production of the Geddes Bergen and WCBT. Our theme music was composed by Diego Rocha, a senior music major focusing on composition in the Sunderman Conservatory of Music. Join us next week. We'll be talking to Musselman Library Scholarly Communications Assistant Sarah Apadu about textbook prices as a social justice issue. Have a great week.